Right. So you just mentioned that this is a discussion that like people are having in almost like a grassroots kind of way, right? It's coming up among medical professionals, among practitioners. And that itself is so interesting to me, just as like a starting point for this conversation about saying a bracha. I think like a lot of our, topics that we've seen together have been, I guess, maybe more well-defined is the right term. Meaning I have some mitzvah, you know, saying Birkat HaGomel, to use a recent example, lighting Hanukkah candles. That mitzvah is now like, you know, compromised in a certain way, or there are certain obstacles to my performing it. What do I do now? This like situation has been very different, I think, because it seems to have come almost in a much more like grassroots way, right? People, you know, hear about the vaccine and you really feel that like that there's an excitement about it. People feel a lot of joy and relief and safety in the context of like, you know, getting the vaccine, and they want to know if there's a bracha to say about it. They want to find some kind of religious outlet or expression for this feeling. So I'm really glad you brought up that point. I actually hadn't seen conversations like that in like medical spaces, because I'm not in medical spaces. But it's so interesting that it came up there for you. I'm curious, when you got your vaccine, what did you say anything?
So I didn't, because I didn't know whether I should or not. But it was a really good feeling. And I am somebody who's very, very, very afraid of needles, which is kind of like crazy, but I know, but I am. Especially injections, as opposed to other things. But I am, and the fact that I went by myself was just a testament to how much I wanted this. Because usually someone comes and holds my hand.
Oh, that was great.
I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner. I deal with children, so I'm used to like hysterics over shots.
So. Oh my goodness. Right. So I'm glad you brought that up. Also, that'll be another part of the conversation, right? Does being afraid of
a good feeling, but I didn't know what to say. As I said, a bunch of things were going around on this Facebook group, but I didn't know, and I didn't want to say the wrong thing and do a bracha batala and all. So I don't know. I didn't say anything, but maybe you'll change it for my second one.
Right. Absolutely. So it's very interesting. So another testament to this, like almost grassroots nature of this particular piece of halakha is that so many options are flying around because there's this need, right? We want to have something to say, some expression. And we're used to those expressions being, you know, more formalized. You have bracha, you have certain tefillot. But people are really just searching for like the one that fits, right? We know we have to have some expression for this moment. We don't know what it is, so we try out some options. And we're going to see like, I don't know, 5 or 6 different like possibilities that have been raised by various authorities in the past like week or so, which will be very interesting. You also make a point about the second vaccine. Actually, everything I've seen written so far has pointed to the idea that the bracha is meant to be said on the first vaccine, because at that point you've already experienced it once, and the second time will be like a diminished sense of joy and relief and all the feelings that we're going to be talking about. But I would definitely encourage you to inquire about, you know, what to do for the second vaccine, given that you didn't have this first opportunity. But that's really exciting. So let's get started with a few of our sources and a little bit of the framing conversation. One way to do this, which is, you know, probably the way that we're going to do this together, is to basically just sort through a number of options that have been proposed in the past week, and see like the benefits and the possibilities of saying these brachot and some of the potential limitations and reasons why one might not want to say this bracha, that bracha, the other bracha, and what options remain at that point. So the first suggestion that I had seen, which I think was popularized by Prime Minister of Israel Bibi Netanyahu, who also said it when he received his vaccine, was Shehecheyanu. Shehecheyanu is a bracha that we say on sort of, you know, momentous occasions at which one arrives in life, generally moments of joy and moments of significant joy. And it's almost built into the bracha, if we read the text of the bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shehecheyanu, blessed are you God, who has kept us alive, V'kiyamanu, and sustained us, V'higyanu Lazaman Hazeh, and brought us to this time. Probably the vowel's wrong, probably should be The idea is we've reached this momentous occasion that brings us great joy, and we're expressing that towards God. And the Gemara tells us that there are actually two different kinds of situations when one says Shehecheyanu, one of which will be much more relevant than the other. One will be, I guess, for lack of a better term, maybe the more familiar case of Shehecheyanu. And that's the Shehecheyanu that we say in the context of mitzvot, in the context of making Kiddush on Yom Tov, or the first time we light Hanukkah candles, or take lulav, or things like that. That's like one set of brachot. Oh, we made it to this moment, and that makes a certain deal of sense when you're talking about, let's say, a mitzvot, especially mitzvot that appear on an annual cycle. You know, making it through the year to the next iteration of this mitzvah is something to really be thankful for. And that's the set that this Gemara begins by talking about. Amar Rabba, ki avina be Rav Huna. Rabba says that what he was learning in Rav Huna's house, Rav Huna's Beit Midrash, Ibailan. They had asked the question, Mahu lomar zman b'Rosh Hashanah uv'Yom Kippurim. Do we say zman, which is how a good chunk of halachic literature refers to the bracha of Shehecheyanu, because of the word lazman hazeh, right? We were brought to this time. So do we say the bracha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? That's a dispute or a question in the Gemara. Kevin demizman lazman ati amrinan. Do we say that because this is an annual celebration that we're, you know, happy about, that appears on a certain fixed time scale every year, we should say the bracha? Odilma, kevan de lo ikru regalim lo arminan. Or maybe we really only say the bracha of Shehecheyanu on the shalosh regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, because those are holidays that really build on this notion of joy much more prominently. The mitzvah of experiencing joy in Yom Tov is more prominent on those Yomim Tovim than on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are tempered by being days of judgment and tshuva as well. Just in terms of time, I chose not to go down the route of how which holidays and which mitzvot ended up with the bracha. But we've ended up not following this side of the dispute, right? We say Shehecheyanu, for example, when we lit near Hanukkah. So we definitely expand it to more mitzvot than just the, you know, the three regalim and the kiddush that we say on those holidays. There is also the difference, just worth noting, between saying Shehecheyanu on a mitzvah that you do, lighting Hanukkah candles, versus saying Shehecheyanu almost like on the day itself, right? When you say Shehecheyanu as part of your kiddush for, let's say, Sukkot, for example, Sukkot maybe is not as good an example because you're sitting in the sukkah for the first time, Shavuot, that's almost more built on the day and less on a particular mitzvah act that we get to do. So there might be a difference there, but... but in any case, so the Gemara raises this question about saying Shehecheyanu for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and says Lo Have Biadei. Rav Huna didn't know the answer. They were discussing, and they couldn't figure out what the answer should be. Ki Atai Be Rav Yehuda Amar. When he went to a different Beit Midrash, so we heard Ana Akara Chadata Nami Amin Azman. So there, Rav Yehuda said, "Look, what are you talking about? Why are you being so, you know, uptight about this? I say Shehecheyanu whenever I eat a new, like, gourd, a new vegetable. And that's an occasion to say Shehecheyanu. And this is a thing that we do on Rosh Hashanah as well. Part of this dispute, right? We eat new fruit on Rosh Hashanah so that we don't have to worry about whether we say Shehecheyanu on Rosh Hashanah or not, because either way, we have a new fruit to make the bracha on. So here he says, look, I can make a new bracha on any new experience that brings me joy. It doesn't have to be a formal mitzvah or chag or anything like that. That's a claim that was made in this Beit Midrash. And the Gemara responds to that claim and says, no, that's not a good, that doesn't answer our question. Amarle, reshut lo kami ba'ili. I wasn't asking about if I could say the bracha, if saying the bracha is a reshut, as something that is permissible to me. Ki kami ba'ili chova mai. What I really want to know is if I'm obligated to say the bracha. So the obligated kind of Shehecheyanu, it was the one we've been talking about. You say it at, let's say, the Shalosh Regalim. The Rashut kind of Shehecheyanu was a much more interesting one to me. And I wish we would be able to go through every example and all the different iterations and permutations of Shehecheyanu. But just you know, al regel achad, we'll see a couple. This idea of shechenu as a reshut, as a, something that one can opt into without being formally obligated in. And that's the kind of shechenu that seems to apply to eating a new fruit. And that might be the kind of shechenu that would help us when one is making a bracha on a COVID vaccine, right? It's not the same kind of, you know, formalized, ritualized joy that we, let's say, express on the Shalosh Regalim with Shechianu. But it might be a reshut. It might be something that we're allowed to do. Now, the word reshut itself is interesting, and we're not going to be able to see all the different interpretations of this idea, but we'll look at one or two just as recorded in Rav Asher Weiss's treatment. This is a pretty extensive treatment, so a lot of the shiur today came from this. So one of the options he raises is that, that what it means to say that this is a reshut is that you don't have to buy new gourds all the time, or new clothing, or build a new house, or whatever it is that one is doing that is new that brings you joy. But if you do so, you have to make a bracha on it, right? It sort of defangs that idea of a reshut, right? Because we would think reshut means I could choose to say the bracha. When I'm feeling it, that's an opportunity to express this joy. And that would be a very powerful notion that some interpretations don't seem to give us much room for. They say you're obligated to say Shechianu when you experience these things. You don't. It's less, I guess, subjective, a little bit more formalized in this way. But others take the idea of reshut a little bit more broadly, and they say that reshut means you can really opt in, that this is an opportunity for a sort of authentic religious expression, that when one feels a certain thing, one is able to say, and when one doesn't, one doesn't. And that would be a powerful basis for saying Shechianu for a coronavirus vaccine, for example. We'll avoid looking at the rest of these options for now. We'll come back to our sources. Okay. So this is one option of bracha to say on the COVID vaccine, Shechianu. We've reached this moment where we're able to have this new experience that brings us a great deal of joy. I'll just return briefly to a point you had made earlier about, you know, being concerned about saying a bracha levatala. So this is actually one of the questions that comes up when you consider the idea of Shechianu as a reshut, right? When I say that the bracha is optional, so different religious sensibilities can pull you in different directions about whether you should say it, right? On the one hand, you might say, great, it's optional, and I'm concerned about saying bracha levatala, right? Bracha that aren't necessary to say, that would be inappropriate to say, therefore. So if I don't have to anyway, and it's optional, then I'm not going to. If I'm obligated to say the bracha, fine, then I'll say it. Excuse me, I just cut out for a moment. But if I don't have to, I won't. The flip side of bracha of Shechianu being a reshut, you might argue, makes, you know, almost the opposite arguments, right? It's a reshut. It's optional. I could opt in. Because it's defined as an optional thing, and not as a, you know, rigid, formalized halachic thing, then maybe I'm less concerned about a bracha levatala. Because when I feel it, I'm allowed to opt into this bracha, and that's my real religious expression in this moment. And that's sanctioned by this Gemara, that it's a reshut, and I'm allowed to do this. There's a section in the piece that we saw from Rav Asher Weiss where he deals with this question, right? Does the fact that it's a reshut, just to read the title of the section, Brikat HaReshut LeHakel or LeHachmir, right? If it's a reshut, does that mean you're less likely to do it because you don't need to and you're worried about bracha levatala? Or you're more likely to do it because the standards are lower? It's not, you know, talking about obligations, it's just talking about what a real, you know, religious expression is. We can see this passage in the Ramah on our source sheet where he leans towards not saying it. V'isha katvu shenahagu LeHakel b'bracha zo. There are those who have written that it is our custom to be makel, to be lenient in saying this bracha. Because it's not obligatory. So if it's not obligatory, we're not going to say it. And from this fact that it's a reshut, it followed that many people ended up being pretty lenient about these brachot. There are a few sections of Shulchan Aruch that deal with these kinds of brachot. These, I had this experience, I saw this person or this event, or I heard this good news, and there are brachot associated with those. Our community, I don't want to say all communities, but it certainly has fallen out of practice compared to how the Shulchan Aruch describes it. And the Ramah here is justifying almost why. These brachot exist in theory, but especially if they're voluntary, there is a countervailing religious value that says we don't want to, you know, say extra bracha levatala. There is at the same time the affirmative religious value that you were expressing. Rav Asher Weiss also expresses it. Just to go to this really nice passage that he quotes from Ramban, right? He's dealing with the question in the first section of this piece about what's like the source in the Torah for this idea of brachot, to praise and thank God, right? We have the idea of berakat hamazon in the Torah that appears that it has a source, v'achalta v'zavata uverachta, you should eat and then you should bless God. But these other brachot don't have explicit sources. And then Asher Weiss tries to make the claim in a way that I think is really powerful, that you don't really need a source for these brachot. That these brachot, the idea of giving thanks to God and remembering God sort of constantly as an object of thanks and praise, is almost the definition of what religious life is all about. And he quotes this passage from the Ramban, where he basically makes the claim that that's what all mitzvot are about and what creation itself is about. The kavanat kol ha-mitzvot, the purpose of all the mitzvot, shina amin be'elokeinu, v'node'e lav shehu bor'enu, or bra'anu, I'm sorry, that we should believe in God and thank him for having created us. Vi kavanat yetzirah, and that's also the purpose of creation itself. So that's a very powerful notion that pushes against the idea of a bracha levatala, at least in these kinds of brachot, right? On the one hand, we're worried about saying God's name in vain and saying bracha levatala. But on the other hand, if the purpose of creation is to thank God for our existence and to thank God for the good that he bestows upon us, then there's a strong countervailing factor in favor of Shehecheyanu. Okay, so this is Shehecheyanu. I want to give us enough time to reflect on a few of the other options that are presented. So we'll skip some of the extra sources here. And we'll move to the second one. And the second one has one advantage over Shehecheyanu, which I'll express in a minute. The second bracha is Hatov v'Hametiv. Bracha ta Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Hatov, who is good, v'Hametiv, and who bestows good or causes good. The strongest argument in favor of saying this bracha, which generally serves a pretty similar function to Shehecheyanu, right? I experience a moment of goodness and joy and gratitude, and I thank God for that moment. The strongest argument in favor is this Gemara in Brachot, which basically juxtaposes the brachot of Shehecheyanu and Hatov v'Hametiv, and distinguishes between them on one very important ground. So the Gemara there quotes a braita. Bana bayit chadash, if one built a new house, v'kana kelim chadashim, or bought new vessels, utensils. This is also the kind of thing that would extend to, let's say, buying new clothes and other things that are more common situations when one would say Shehecheyanu. Omer, Baruch Shehecheyanu v'kiyemanu, Shehecheyanu v'higyanu l'zman hazeh. If we were more interested in, you know, manuscripts and figuring out what the text of the bracha is, we'll like note, you know, it says Shehecheyanu v'higyanu here, and the next line says Shehecheyanu v'kiyemanu, but without worrying too much about that, we know he's referring to the bracha of Shehecheyanu. So if you buy a house, or build a house, or buy new utensils, great, you say Shehecheyanu. Shelo v'shal acherim. If, however, you build a house or buy vessels that are for you and for other people, then Omer hatov v'hametiv. Then you would say the bracha of hatov v'hametiv and not the bracha of Shehecheyanu. And doubles down on this in a line or two later. K'tzaro shel davar, the, you know, bottom line of this halacha is, Al shalo hu omer baruch Shehecheyanu v'kiyemanu. When the matter affects him alone, you say the bracha of Shehecheyanu. Al shalo v'al shal chavero, when it affects the person and someone else, then omer baruch hatov v'hametiv. So in the context of a COVID vaccine, we could make the argument in one of two directions. We could say that at the moment that I get a vaccine, that's something that affects me only. And so when I get the vaccine, Shehecheyanu would be a more appropriate bracha. But I think a more powerful notion comes from this idea, which I think has in many senses actually been emphasized over the course of our experience during this pandemic, a certain kind of broader communal or collective ethos that's arisen, or the idea that I wear a mask not only to protect myself, but also to protect other people in my community. And I get a vaccine not only to protect my own health, but also to get us closer to that kind of herd immunity. And to the extent that my getting a vaccine is contributing to this broader project of keeping everyone safe and everyone healthy and part of this broader salvation that we're all experiencing. So maybe it would be very appropriate to say hatov v'hametiv and not she'achyanu. In the realm of practical guidance, and this is one area where I will encourage everyone to consult with their own rabbinic advisors. There are a number of positions that are being put forth, and it doesn't seem like there's been consensus yet, if only just because it's been pretty recent that vaccines have been on the table and people have been asking these questions. But Rav Schachter from YU, when he got his vaccine, did say hatov v'hametiv. He recommended that people say that for this reason, that it's good for you and it's good for others as well. And this is the bracha that you say when a good thing happens for you and for other people as well. So this is the second option that it has been endorsed by some poskim, and that sort of gives expression to this more collective or communal kind of joy, and not only the individual experience that Shechianu might give voice to. Excuse me. So these are the two, I guess, more, I don't want to say more standard options, but these are the ones that I've seen discussed most in the contemporary halachic discourse, right? People are talking about Shechianu and Hatov v'Hametiv. Those aren't the only ones, and that's where we get to our other options. There are a number of other options, mostly put forth by people who are a little bit hesitant about saying the bracha for various reasons. Just to see some of those hesitations, we're going to look at a brief piece from Rav Shlomo Aviner. Rav Aviner is associated with the religious Zionist community in Israel, a little bit more on the like more nationalist side of that movement. And he has a number of hesitations with this bracha of Shechianu. So he's asked this question, should you say Shechianu? And he says, there are a number of reasons why you really shouldn't. Number one is he points to this idea of following the minhag, which actually makes a really sharp observation. So he starts by quoting this passage from the Chatam Sofer, where the Chatam Sofer says that with regard to the bracha of Shechianu, hecha delo nahig lo nahig, v'hecha de nahig nahig. Where there is a minhag to say the bracha, you should say it. So let's say eating a new fruit, there's still a minhag of saying Shechianu there, maybe when one wears new clothing. But where there's no minhag to do so, we shouldn't be adding to it. Now, this is a certain attempt to grapple with the competing values about Shechianu we mentioned before, right? We're wary of bracha levatala, but we do want to give expression to our joy. So maybe we follow conventional practice as opposed to trying to figure it out in each individual circumstance. He's not so concerned about bracha levatala, but nonetheless, that might be his way to compromise between these two different poles. But he then notes, well, is there a minhag to say a bracha on a COVID vaccine? Hold on a second. Zoba emet sheilat manyana. It's an interesting question. Mishum shezo lo ha'pam harishona bihistoria sheim siyu chisun neged nagif, baruch Hashem. This isn't the first vaccine we've ever had. We've had vaccines before in world history. And as far as Rav Aviner knows, and as far as I know, there hasn't been a strong attempt, if any attempt, to say a bracha on, the polio vaccine, let's say. But it was a big deal. Ella, b'meshach hashanim, rather over the course of years, himtziu rufuot utrufot rabot neged machalot rabot. We've found many cures and treatments for various diseases, including kolel chisunim sheitzilu me'ot milyonim, including vaccines that have saved literally hundreds of millions of lives. V'lo ra'inu sharabotinu katvu levarech shechianu alehen. No one's said such a bracha on that. So we've, Ravina are saying, look, why are we pretending this is a new question? This is an old question, right? When there's a vaccine that comes out, what do? We already know what to do because we've done this before, and that is not say a bracha. Rabbi Arya Leibowitz gave a share about this relatively recently, also on YU Torah, and he didn't try to make the argument
Are we so sure that they didn't do a bracha on the polio vaccine? Because that was a huge thing. I wouldn't be so sure that there aren't people who said a bracha when they got polio vaccine. I've been reading a number of things about the polio vaccination thing and how parents were so crazed afraid during the polio epidemic. I mean, I don't know, but that vaccine was a huge game changer. So
right.
I wouldn't be so sure. Yeah, you have social media. You didn't have social media to bring it around like this, but I wouldn't be so sure.
Right. So that's a great question, right? If you could prove to Rav Avinair that people did say a bracha, that would be, that might be a, you know, a counter argument to this point. And your point about social media is also a really sharp one. I hadn't considered it, but I really appreciate it. Right. There's a certain notion that like a few people have this idea called let's make a bracha when we get this vaccine. It spreads. It becomes much more communal, and people know much more about it, as opposed to back then when it would have been harder to transmit information about this kind of practice if someone had had it. The flip side is if the bigger we make the polio vaccine, right? If the polio vaccine was as big a deal as the COVID vaccine, which I'm not a historian of medicine, but my understanding is it was a pretty big deal, and we still didn't say a bracha, then it becomes a stronger argument for Avinair, right? If even the polio vaccine didn't get a bracha, of course the COVID vaccine is not going to get a bracha. So that would be the question, right? We'd have to really look back to the history and see, is there any record of such a bracha? There may also be what to say for a shift of like religious consciousness. Again, not an intellectual historian, so I wish I could say more about this. But it might be that modern circumstances either make us more aware of the benefits of vaccination and the good that would be caused, and so we feel more joy at getting a vaccine. Or in a religious sense, we're more comfortable and we want to find more religious expression for our emotions, which may have been less true at various points in Jewish history. So it's possible there are other factors that might, you know, generate this distinction. So you could say, well, Rabbi, yeah, back then we didn't say those brachot, but now there's a more palpable sense of joy or stronger, you know, desire to express this in a religious context. Maybe that would justify a higher level of brachot. So that would be the analogy he makes. I was talking about Rabbi Leibowitz at this point. He had made the claim in a shiur I had heard online yesterday that, well, maybe the difference between vaccines then and vaccines now is that this has been a really long and really challenging period of time for, I don't want to say everyone, but many, many people. Like the experience of this moment feels huge. Was that how polio felt? Well, you know, you would tell me, yeah, that's exactly how it felt. So we shouldn't, you know, try to blow this out of proportion. You know, 2020 wasn't the worst year ever in human history. But the more you try to make 2020 and COVID unique, the more you're going to find justification for saying a bracha. The more you see it as just another iteration of a long historical process of illnesses and treatments for those illnesses, then the less you would try to make that distinct. Okay. So those are some of his hesitations. He also raises hesitations about potentially saying bracha where there's, you know, both good and bad sort of bound up together. And this goes back to a point we had touched on very briefly at the beginning, right? Getting a vaccine is great. At the same time, vaccines aren't pleasant. They make people nervous. They're a little bit painful. Maybe it would not be appropriate to say a bracha like Shehecheyanu at a moment when it's experiencing pain. This becomes a conversation a little bit in the context of saying Shehecheyanu by a Brit Milah, right? It's a momentous occasion, and at the same time, the child is in pain. So that's one of the factors that's discussed in the context of saying Shehecheyanu by a Brit Milah. So those are some of the hesitations we might raise. You may also make the argument that the brachot of Shehecheyanu, Atov, and Meitiv apply to more like physical things. This is an expression some poskim use, things that are more like mamashi, they're real, as opposed to, you know, this idea of, you know, being protected from an illness, right, which is a little bit broader and less well-grounded, right? You say Hatov HaMeitiv on a particular, like, physical real thing. You have a new house. You have a new vessels. So as opposed to this more, like, abstract kind of notion, like being healed or being protected from illness, which maybe generates the bracha less. There are a number of hesitations people have to these brachot. And so we have a number of other options that we might consider. We'll go back to our source sheet now where we see many of these options. The first one might be familiar to those of you who joined me last week, who have heard this year in that capacity. We talked about the bracha of Birkat HaGomel, right? This bracha that we say on being saved from a dangerous situation. So this is something that I've seen, you know, alluded to. Maybe Hagoma would be an appropriate bracha. We're in danger at this moment of, you know, catching an illness. Once we are, you know, removed from that danger, we should express thanks for that. So that's one possibility. And those of us who were here last week will also remember that even though the sort of classical halacha identifies four common situations under which one should be, one should say Hagomel, the Shulchan Aruch concludes that, you know, really any dangerous situation from which one is saved, one could really express Birkat Hagomel. This one I have not seen get so much traction in halachic literature in the past week or so. I haven't seen people endorsing Hagomel, possibly because the notion of danger is a little bit less immediate, right? When you're sick and you're healed, you are in a much more palpable sense of danger than you are when you're a broadly healthy person wearing a mask, walking around outside, who's in a little bit less danger. Maybe you can one could make the argument, as I have seen made, that perhaps frontline workers are different, because frontline workers go in every day to a hospital and they're exposed to patients who have COVID and they feel the sense of palpable danger much more directly than members of general society. And that might be an interesting kind of distinction to make. But yeah, so that's Hagoma. That's the second potential option to consider. A third potential option. Besides Shechenu, besides Tov HaMeitiv, we could consider Hagomel as well. There's been another trend going around, right? Even among those who have not endorsed saying brachot, either with or without Shemu Malchut, with or without the name of God, in those brachot, there are a number of tefillot, of just like general prayers that one could say, or yihiratzons, or things like that one could say, that might be more appropriate, that people invoke. I haven't kept track of, you know, who suggests which thing, and you know, I could track those down if anyone was particularly interested. But there are a number of expressions of this that I've collected. So number one is this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Hanichnas lahaki is dam." If one, goes to a doctor for bloodletting at the time, viewed as a suitable medical practice, I think has fallen out of vogue to some extent. So what should you say? Yehi ratzon lofanecha Hashem Elokai. May it be your will, God. Shehei isek zeh li lerefua ki rufei chinam ata. This treatment I'm about to undergo should be for good health, meaning it should be successful. U'la'achar shehiki is, and after getting the treatment, yomar baruch rufei cholim. Blessed is God who is rufei cholim. This is sort of a similar kind of phrase, obviously in almost the reverse context, to Baruch Dayan HaEmet, right? You have Baruch and you have the idea without the name of God per se, but that becomes an important expression of a certain kind of experience. So this Shulchan Aruch endorses this kind of prayer in the context of getting a medical treatment. It's a little bit unclear to me, just historically, if bloodletting is a treatment or a preventative, and maybe we can make a distinction on those grounds as well. But it's my understanding that it was used as a preventative, at least in some circumstances. And the Mishnah Berurah, just building on the halacha, says really this should be used for any kind of refua. It's not just bloodletting. It's any kind of medical treatment that one undergoes in order to remember constantly that God is the one who heals us, right? V'lo yachshov shete eze davar lo refua ela al yedei habore yibarach shemo. Being healed only comes from God, and so we should have this prayer that we say when we go to a doctor and are healed. And that's sort of a constant, important reminder. So this is a certain kind of tila that's been thrown around. Maybe you should say the Tzihi Ratzon as, you know, in advance of your, COVID vaccine. Another expression that is alluded to is from the Yerushalmi here, is it Hashotei Mei Dekarim, some kind of, medicinal, tincture or something. Mahu Omer. Baruch Shabara Me Refuot. Blessed is God who created these tinctures, these, you know, medical drinks that we have that are good for our health. There's another expression that has been passed around as a potential expression to say. It's a little bit unclear if you're supposed to say this again with or without God's name, but certainly saying it without Shem Hashem would be appropriate. A few other Right. So just this I found interesting. This is from Sidur Olatraya. This is a siddur with a commentary of Rav Kook. And you know, in the section, you could check in the back of many siddurim. You have these sections with like a lot of bracha that people don't say so often. So in the back of this siddur, he has this bracha that he, you know, drew on the Shulchan Aruch for, and the same Yehi Ratzon, and Rofei Cholim, and he actually says it with Shem Hashem under some circumstances. He thinks that the difference really is where there's a real danger. So if it's real danger, then you have more of an obligation to say this bracha with the name of God after the danger. I just thought it was cool to see that. The final thing I'll look at is a little bit longer form tefillah. And this is a thing that I think has become, I don't want to say more common recently. I'm not, again, coming from at this from a historical perspective. But there are certainly many situations where people now sort of compose their own tefillot almost, or their own religious expressions of relief. So this is just one that I've seen passed around, and there are a number of them that I've seen. From Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, tefillah lefni likichat chisun. A tefillah that you say before getting a vaccine. And without reading and translating the whole thing, it expresses various notions of gratitude towards God, who is Borei Refuot, who creates medical treatments, and Sha'atachonin La'adam Da'adrum La'amed La'enosh Bina, the one who created man with the intelligence to be able to create medical treatment for themselves. Yiratzon Mofanecha She'achizun Hazeh Yimna Et Hitpashut HaMagefa. May it be your will that this vaccine will stop the spread of the vaccine and save thousands of lives, tens of thousands of lives, and so on. So this kind of prayer was being passed around, and there are a number of other ones that you see pass around, which definitely touches on this notion, just, you know, to sort of come full circle, that there's this need in a religious context to find a religious expression for our gratitude and for this moment. This is almost a grassroots piece of halacha, right? People feel the need. So we're going to try to see if there's a halachic model to draw from. Shehachiyanu, hatov v'hamitiv, the various advantages and disadvantages that we've seen to those brachot. And if we can't do that, we should still find ways of expressing our gratitude and our appreciation and our praise for these moments and our hopes that this vaccine should be as helpful as we feel like it ought to be. One final piece of potential practical guidance, which is often used when we're unwilling to, you know, decide if we should say Shekhinah or not. Rav Avinu expresses it pretty concisely. If you really want to say Shekhinah anyway, despite everything I've said, you really shouldn't say this. There are lots of reasons why you shouldn't. But if you really want to, so what could you do? You could buy a new, you know, piece of clothing. You could buy a new fruit. And make the bracha on it. And have in mind both things. Have in mind the fruit, and then have in mind the life-saving vaccine that we're all hopefully be taking, which, please God, should in fact be life-saving. So that's an interesting piece of practical advice that comes up a lot, where people are unsure what to do with the bracha of Shehachiyanu, and there are various situations that we've not touched on in which one would be unsure if they should say Shehachiyanu. Until they try this sort of practical workaround to avoid the issue. So just to summarize what we've seen together, I'll stop sharing my screen at this moment. We started by sort of just giving voice and thinking about the sort of competing religious concerns and the religious values that would militate in favor or against saying a bracha on this vaccine. We've seen a number of options that have been weighed and discussed by Poskim. Over the past couple of weeks, Shehachiyanu, Hatov V'Hamitiv, Hagomel. And then also we've seen some of these other kinds of tefillot, these other expressions that appear in various halachic sources that give voice to what we might be feeling at this moment, again, some combination of joy and relief and salvation, without giving it the formal halachic weight of a bracha, but still sort of meeting this real human need and this real spiritual need to express joy and gratitude. I'll end this, again, just by reiterating that right now I haven't found that there's been a huge amount of consensus as to what to do in practice. So I encourage everyone to ask their own personal halakhic authorities on what the best practice should be. But there are certainly many options, and regardless of the psak that one is given, it's certainly appropriate to find some mode of expression of our gratitude and hope that we should all experience a salvation and a refuah from this pandemic. I'll stop recording now.